Thank you for your word. I pray that today, as I share this message, you would touch our hearts, that you would increase the capacity, that you would stretch our heart and our mind bigger. Help us to dream bigger. Help us to get rid of the limits that stop so many of us. Holy Spirit, anoint the word of God today. Without you, nothing said will last. But with you, this can be a life-changing service. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that God has burned into my spirit, it's going to be a year of passion. It's going to be people rising to whole new levels and living with a sense of passion, living it passionately. You know, Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, "Where there is no prophetic vision, people go unrestrained, they perish." I'm going to give you a one-line definition for vision, because we often talk about vision in this church. What's your vision? What do you see? Where are you going? Vision is a picture of the future that produces passion. Vision is a picture of the future in your heart, in your mind, on the inside of you, and it produces passion. If you don't live with passion, you're not enjoying life. Our world works hard. The enemy of our souls, Satan, works hard at stripping you of your passion. Wherever you become passionless, that area of your life becomes hard. That area of your life becomes hard to even enjoy. The vision that God's given us as Christians is a God-breathed vision. The vision He's given us for this church, Springs Church, is a God-breathed. I remind myself all the time, this is not your vision. This is not my vision. This is a God-breathed thing that He's placed in our hearts here in Winnipeg, Manitoba, and surrounding areas. And we're called to do something great for God. You know, when you lose your vision, the Bible says people go unrestrained. Or where there is no vision, people perish. Let me give you some other words that this means to help you understand. When you lose your vision, you lose your passion, your vitality. You lose your focus. You get focused on a whole bunch of stuff that's meaningless, that steals your joy. You lose your commitment to God, marriage, family, home, the call of God. You lose your energy. You become just listless and kind of going through life. You lose your passion. And there's one thing that young people and children have is passion. And as they grow older, life has this way of just squeezing you out and wringing you like a dish rag until you just exist going through life. That is not God's way for you to live. Refuse. Just refuse in today's service. Get this in your heart. I refuse to live life without passion. I don't care what others do. I don't care what others say. I refuse. One of the greatest things in my life next to Jesus is the passion that my parents birthed on the inside of me for the things of God. I watched my father as my pastor for years preach. 2002 was a great year. In one way, it was a sad year for me because I lost my dad and my partner in ministry as well with Sal and I and Mom. But there's one thing that I never, ever saw. I never saw my dad without passion. Over 40 years in the ministry, did you know that over 80% of all pastors burn out and lose their passion in ministry? And he was a crowning example of a man that every year that he preached, his passion grew stronger. You put him behind the mic, this quiet little short man would explode all over the pulpit. He had a passion on the inside. Something that we need to look forward to. Do you have a passion? Now, here's the thing. Try to get passion. You can't get it. I'm going to be passionate. I'm passionate. Yeah. You're faking it. Oh, I'm going to live life with passion. It is impossible to live life with passion without vision. Vision is the precursor to passion. Vision is what makes you rise up with true godly passion. And when your vision goes down the tubes, and here's the problem with vision. Vision leaks. What do you mean, pastor? I mean, it just leaks. You can have a strong vision for something, and if you don't keep that vision before you, it just somehow leaks out. And even though once you had a great vision that made you passionate, pretty soon it's, well, I had it. I remember the good old days. Come on. How about the good future? Say, well, you don't know what's happened to me, Pastor. I'm sorry if hurtful things have happened to you. But why would you live the rest of your life without passion? Why would you do that? Passion is something that comes from God. Jesus said in Luke chapter 2, zeal for his house has eaten me up. Jesus literally was a passionate person. I don't want to lose my vitality. I don't want to lose my focus, my commitment, my energy, or my passion. And I want it in every area of my life. I want to be passionate about my relationship with God. I want a vision of what God and I are going to be like, what we're going to grow into this year. What's my relationship with God going to grow into? I want a passion for my marriage. I want to look at my wife and dream about the things that we're going to do this year as we grow even closer and talk even more. I've got a vision of my kids and what they're going to do in family, a vision for this church, a vision for life, to enjoy it and live it to the fullest, a vision for people, to touch people. Passion must be in every area of your life, but the only way you'll get it there is to have a vision. So are you passionless somewhere? You've lost your vision. Today, I've got a little bit different message. I don't know if I've preached one quite this way. I want to share with you the heart and the soul of Springs Church. We've been here now, Springs, 8.5 years, and we all share something that we eat, live, and breathe. And it's a vision of a church that's different. A church that keeps changing and impacting. And so I thought, the first Sunday of the year needs to be a great opportunity to get the most important vision of our life on course. And if you'll get this today in this service, you'll be on the way to getting the passion back into your marriage, into your relationships, family, home, business. So let me share with you the heart and the soul of Springs Church. Here we go. Number one. We want to help people here at Springs become real Christians. I don't mean phonies. I don't mean religious people. The biggest problem in the world today is religion. It stinks. There are so many versions of every version out there. The world no longer even agrees or believes. We want people to become real Christians. What is that? A, it's people who take Jesus as their Savior. People who have an experience with God. You see, when you accept Jesus Christ, He's not just a teacher. He's not just a great prophet. It's not just I'm going to accept Jesus' teachings like some people so eloquently say. I want Jesus in my heart, and He washes away the hurt. He washes away the sin. He washes away the junk, and He makes you a brand new creature. Brand new creation. And your past doesn't matter. I don't care how much there is to be embarrassed about if anyone ever looked at your past. I don't care if you've had abortions. I don't care if horrible things have happened, disgusting things. I don't care if the shame in your life is beyond all belief. On any other areas out there, when Jesus Christ comes in as your Savior, He just cleans you whiter than snow, makes you a brand new creation. Don't ever lose the joy of your salvation, the fact that Jesus has saved you, that heaven is your home, that the future is great and wonderful. And even if you pass away, heaven is going to be that place for eternity. We want to help people meet Jesus. Be under number one. We want to help people take Jesus as their Lord, not just as their Savior, but as their Lord. Luke 6:44, Jesus Himself said this, "Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say?" Did you know that little statement has got more in it than anything? Yes, Jesus came in and you're a Christian. You're saved from hell, saved from sickness, disease, from the entire curse of the law. But there is a place of victory in your life that did you know that many Christians don't experience? It is moving from the place of Jesus, thank you for saving me. Oh, I love you. It's moving to a place of commitment and determination where I'm going to obey the teachings of Jesus. If Jesus said it, I'll do it. I'm not going to question. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to sit around. I am going to bite the bullet. I'm going to do it. And I am going to learn to rise to a whole new level of life when Jesus becomes your Lord, not just your Savior. Yes, He saved you. Heaven's your home. Wonderful. You're a Christian. Wonderful. But if you really want to enjoy a relationship with Him, you've got to take a new step. And many of you need to take this new step this year. You got saved. You love the church. I just met a precious young man after the first service, walked up to me and shook my hands, and I filled out a card. He said, I was a Christian 22 years ago. He says, I've just gone my own way. And last Sunday, I came into the service and gave my life to Jesus. He said, this is what I've been looking for. He says, now this is church. And he just started talking to me about how much he loved church, how that he's discovered Jesus as his Savior. Oh, he's got another wonderful step coming up. He's going to discover that when Jesus writes something down, it's for his benefit. And if he wants great health, great marriage, great home, great friends, great destiny, now move on to Jesus being your Lord, meaning you are submitting to the Lordship of Jesus. What he says, you now, I accept that, I'm going to do that. And the third thing under number 1C that is a key to people becoming real Christians, Jesus is your Savior, Jesus is your Lord. You got to see God as Daddy. You got to see God as your Father. And A, I didn't give you Romans 10, 8 to 10. Maybe they put it on the big screen. Under B, Luke 6, 44. Luke 6, 44 was with my scripture reference with B. And C, we've got to see God as Father. In Romans 8, 14 to 17, it says that we cry out, Abba, Father. You know what that means? It means looking and saying, Daddy. You know, there was a time in my life, I called my dad, Dad. There was a time when I was much younger and really, really dependent on him, and he was known as my daddy, and he could do anything. It was an incredible relationship. Did you know that people who don't see God as their Father, they get weird. They judge. They're harsh. They think God's going to kill people and hit them with lightning and do all sorts of horrible things because they don't see God as a Father. They see God as this big old despot in the sky. Here at Springs Church, we want to introduce people to the way Jesus taught about his Father. And he said, it's Abba, Father. It's Daddy. I want to introduce you to a God that is so in love with you. He's done everything possible to make your life wonderful, to the extent he sent his own Son to die on the cross. And if your life is awful and yuck, let me say something to you. It ain't God's fault. Let me say it again. It ain't God's fault. He is in love with you. He's done everything he can. He sent his Son to die for you. He's your Father. He's just waiting for you to say, God, I take you. I want to be in your family. When you say that prayer, he's going to be all over you. He has an inheritance for you. The number one thing we want to do, we want to help people become real Christians, not religion. People say, well, how come you say attack religion so much? Man, read the Bible. Who attacked Jesus the most? Religious people. He couldn't do anything right. Heal somebody on the Sabbath, they'd nail him for it. I mean, give money away is too much away. I mean, it didn't matter what he did. Religious people. Because, see, religion is man-made rules. And everybody's got different rules. That's why we got so many denominations. How many denominations we got in the whole world? Man-made rules. We want people to discover a relationship with Jesus Christ. Then life becomes awesome. Number two, second thing that really is the heart and soul of our church. We want to help people get rid of religious thinking and enjoy Jesus and the life that he died to give us. Do you know that Jesus died to give you a life? I'll never forget the story that Pastor Cho wrote in one of his books, I don't think it was him, but of a person that he knew, who a woman had a little baby, and She was struggling through the cold and couldn't find her way home in the cold. Crawled under a bridge, and to keep this baby alive, she took off her outer clothing, wrapped the baby up in warm clothing, then wrapped her body around this baby, and she died under the bridge, holding this little one just to keep it alive. And in the morning, they heard this sound as they walked over the bridge of a little baby crying, and they came down and found the mom dead, and she'd taken off her warm clothing and wrapped this little baby in it, then curled her body so the body heat would go into it. She gave this baby life. And he talked about how this boy knew he could not just live a normal life. His mom had given her life for him to live. He had to live a life that was significant. I've got news for you. Jesus died to give you a life. Why are you living below what he died for? Why are we allowing religious thinking in the world to look at us and make us live small and insignificant lives? I refuse. We want to help people get rid of religious thinking. We want them to enjoy Jesus and the life that he died to give us. We want to help them. Jesus died to give us a relationship with our Father God. So you begin to look towards the heavens and think, God, you're my Father. I want to live my life for you. B, under number two, Jesus died to give us a life, and he wants us to live and enjoy the God kind of benefits. John 10:10, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and more abundantly. Did you know that to be a Christian has benefits? It's got benefits. Now, the religious world says, the benefits are that you know God, but life down here is hell. That's why we sing songs like Hold the Fort, for I am coming. And people's theory on the rapture is to bail us out of this horrible world. It's all going to pot. It's going to hell in a handbasket. Jesus, come quickly. Ooh. Would you stop reading those stupid end time books? Some of them are a joke. I can't find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus is coming back for a pathetic, whipped church. He's coming back for a church without spot and without wrinkle. He's coming back for a church where the light's going to grow brighter and brighter until that perfect day. He's coming back for a church that he's going to find faith on this planet. He's not coming back for a bunch of wimps. Therefore, I'm not bailing out of government, bailing out of the city. I'm not going to run for the hills, buy a bunch of canned food and some Uzi machine guns. Going to pack the food in the basement because he's going to come any day now, the Antichrist. Come on. I understand end times, and I know that Jesus is coming back, and I understand the Antichrist and all the rest. But it's become a moneymaker that everyone's... Do you know how many people wrote about Y2K? Did anybody that you heard apologize for their books? They made millions, believe me, scaring Christians. Let's get our eyes back on the Bible. The Bible says we can live life to the fullest. That means a relationship with Jesus Christ. That means we've got to live a life that's awesome. And God wants you to enjoy the benefits. In Psalms 103, it even lists the benefits. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, if you work at a company, there's benefits for you. Some of you got dental, glasses, and all sorts of benefits. And you're not embarrassed to take your benefits. In fact, if you go to the dentist and you get $1,000 worth of work done, and he hands you the claim form and says, if you just fill this out, sign on the bottom, won't cost you a thing, it's just yours. Oh, no, 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 no. No, you know, I just couldn't do that. Doesn't even make sense. Yet religious thinking is Jesus died to have a relationship with him, to know Father God, and I know this is secondary to it, but and to have benefits on the planet. But so many Christians think, oh, you know, the benefits, Oh, we just get our eyes too much on the benefits. I understand what they're trying to say, but it causes people to live so far below where God wants them to live. List, read the benefits, I dare you, when you get home. Psalms 103, verses 1 to 7. He'll forgive your sins. He'll heal your body. He'll restore your youth. He'll bless you so that everything you eat will help your body. He's going to bless you from verses 1 to 7. And that's not only the benefits. Read the other benefits in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 14. Benefit after benefit after benefit. And it goes with the package. If God is our Father and He loves us, then what He's provided does He want us to use? Can you imagine? If you built a nice bedroom for your son or daughter and designed it with their kind of a decor and spent money and things from your life, made this beautiful place for them to enjoy, and they get their 5-star sleeping bag and they go out and sleep on the lawn. Say, but honey, it's January. Oh, I don't deserve the room that you built for me. Yeah, but ain't no one else here to use it. I built it for you. Oh, just I'm so unworthy, Father, to sleep in the bedroom that you built for me. So I must go sleep in the snow. That's stupid. Yet religious thinking says, don't take any of his benefits and then brag about how humble you are. And then if anyone does accept the benefits God's given your life, oh, you're proud, you're arrogant, you're puffed up. Religious thinking has taken the Bible and shredded it and done its own thing. Here's C under number 2. We want, as a church, to help people get rid of religious thinking. We want them to live large, passionately, with generosity, and with excellence. If there's a message, you know, 8.5 years ago when Sal and I and our family came to Springs, there was something we had talked about for a couple of years already, her and I, and that was a church that was real. A church that talked about things that help people today. A church that helped people to dream. Help them to believe that they could do things that their daddy didn't believe about them. Help them to do things that their teachers said they'd never do. Their coaches said they'd never do. We wanted to bring the Word of God to people in a way they go, oh, that's me, that's you, baby. So you can live the way you have been, or you can look at and live large, live passionately, live generously, live with excellence. But religion says, stay small and insignificant. Because if anyone raises their voice or walks with good posture, that's pride. In fact, humble people must walk like this. Wear old clothes, patches on the elbows. If you have to wear it. But that has nothing to do with pride or humility. It's got nothing to do with your heart. See, religion. And there is a segment of people in the world, not all of them, but there's a group, who do not like the church gaining favor or power. They'd like the church to be just 50 chairs in a little drippy building close to the tracks. But if it seats 2,500 chairs and has big screen TVs, something's wrong with this church. Now, they can build a $50 million place to throw the dice with creeks, waterfalls, and trees. And everyone applauds how the city's moving on. But have a church say, we want to raise our kids in a place that's going to reflect how big their God is. We want to raise up a youth center that's going to touch couples for Jesus and young men and women that's going to give them a vision for who they are. Oh, pastor told me this church has got such a crowd that there's got to be something wrong with it. A friend of mine, Jack Weitzel, heard that. And he's been with Sal and I for the last 8 years. He'll pop in once a year and helps us out. And really a historian of the church and a church growth expert. And when he heard that, he put together a study for me on crowds. And he sent it to me by email. Got all these sheets. And in it, the final analysis was such. Everywhere Jesus went, he drew crowds. Everywhere Paul went, he drew crowds. Everywhere Philip went, he drew crowds. Every city they entered, did they know they were there? You better believe it. When Jesus walked into a town, they flocked him out. When Philip walked into a town, great joy hit it. When Paul walked into a town, well, they'd stone him once in a while, but they knew he was there. They knew he was there. You live so large. There is such a big amount of Jesus on the inside of us that whether you're in a company, whether you're a sales, whether you're the owner, whether you're in church, everywhere believers go, We've got to begin to look at life as live it passionately, live it generously, live it with excellence. What happened to the spirit of excellence? The world has got it in different areas, but when a church has it, it changes people. Jesus wants you and I to live after him. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, just a little bit. No, live largely. I want, as a pastor, to preach to a congregation that's growing. And in the decades that are ahead, I want your kids at the top of these corporations, at the top of our political groups, the top of our colleges and universities, so that the favor of God on their lives will impact our community. That's a vision that we all have together. That's what a church can do. Three, we want to do life together as a family team. There's nothing more lonely than doing life as a loner. People want relationships. We as a church, we want to do life together as a family team. We share our joys, our successes. Our kids are going to school, some of them together, and they go to youth group together, and they go to Sunday school and classes together. And we get a chance to fellowship around services and small groups and cell groups and marriage relationships and all the things. We get a chance to get together and live life together. You know, the world was always looking. That's why their bars are their churches. Did you know that? You go to a bar, they got praise and worship in the corner. Bartender's the counselor. And isn't the Holy Spirit, but there's a whole lot of spirits getting poured. Everybody makes some new friends. They dull the pain a little bit, but it doesn't last. Next morning, they wake up hugging the toilet. And they got to start all over again looking for love in all the wrong places. We want to do life together as a family. Under that, quickly, let me just give you an A, B. A, we want to laugh, L-A-F. We want to love people the way they are, accept people the way they are, and forgive them when they've done things to hurt us. And let Jesus change them. That means on his timetable, at the speed they're changing, let them change. Religious thinking builds this little mold and says, anyone that walks into this church that is not like this, has all these things together, they don't belong. They don't fit. So brother and sister, swivel neck, just, we can't let them in. We've got our club. No, we want a church. The Bible has a saying. It says, where the stall is dirty, the oxen are working. I want to put it this way. When you got babies in a house, you got a mess. It doesn't matter how you look at it. You got messy diapers, messy clothes, messy high chair, messy floor, messy kitchen, messy crib. When they become toddlers and can crawl, you got a messy front room and a messy TV room and a messy bedroom. And when they can walk, you got a messy yard to boot. What's going on? It's called children. The wonders of children. I saw this two picture cartoon years ago. I had this tired mom with all these little kids running around the house, and the caption underneath said, when will I ever have peace and quiet? The next caption, she's got gray hair and she's standing up in the attic, all the toys neatly stacked away, and all the kids are grown up and gone. It's the truth. Where there is young children, there's excitement and there's messes and there's problems and fights you got to break up, etc. Did you know that's just like a growing church? Oi, 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 pastor. I thought I was coming to a perfect church. I thought I was coming to a place where everything was together. Are you kidding me? This is a growing church. We got more problems than any other church almost. But they're wonderful problems because they're people. And we love people. We want God's blessing in their lives. The B under number three, we want to live life together as a family team. We need to recognize that God picks all the positions on this team. 1 Corinthians 12, 26 to 28. It says, whether one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. You are the body of Christ, members in particular, and God has set you in the church. Some apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. There is an array of gifts that are here. And the goal is you can't do something you're not called to do. But the gifts that are in you, we want to discover them. We want to love you. equip you for the work of the ministry. And as you grow in God, let this gift begin to go to work. You see, some of you can't sing worth a hoot. That's why we don't give you the mic. Now, some people get the mic because God made crows and chickadees. So if they can sing really well, great. But just because you sing like a crow doesn't mean you're not worshiping God. You could be off tune and out of rhythm. We still want you singing and clapping because God is glorified in your worship of Him. We just don't want you on a mic. See? That's like a church. God picks the positions. I didn't have to politic, shake hands, and kiss babies to become senior pastor. In fact, I ran from it a long time. But it's a call of God on my life. It's a call of God in your life. And there are gifts in your life. And as you passionately pursue God, you'll never escape. He loves you too much. There are gifts inside of you you've never discovered yet. And God wants you to use them in the body of Christ. Number four, we don't strive for recognition here at this church. You know, when you walk into a company, and it's not a bad thing, it's actually important to honor and figure out ways to celebrate achievements. But when you walk into most companies, you'll see a great big wall full of the best salesmen, the highest sales for January, February. You'll find the most creative person, people who have been the best managers. You'll find plaques on walls, on their desk. You've got whole catalogs of ways to honor and to encourage people. One of the unique things about a Christian is we don't strive for other people's recognition or their rewards. There's two very vital verses in the Bible, Philippians 4:1 and 1 Thessalonians 2:19 to 20. You know what Paul says there? He says, "You are my crown. You are my glory. You are my joy." If you live your life for awards that are man-given, you're going to be empty inside. But if you look around and say, "People are my glory, my crown, my award. I don't need it stuck on my wall." Just walk into church. You might say, "I see a family across the way that I talked to one day, risked embarrassing myself and having them look at me like a religious fool, and just one day begin to share the goodness of God in my life. And after a few months of getting to know me, they came out to church, they gave their life to Jesus." I'm telling you right now, sitting across the church from you is your crown, your reward, your glory, and it should be your joy. And when people don't recognize you and they don't celebrate you and they don't make you feel awesome, don't worry about it. Paul was almost never celebrated. He was stoned, shipwrecked, beaten, killed, lied about, talked about. You know what kept him going? He said, "You are my crown." I could look around right now and tell stories that I already know about who invited who and who was an impact on someone's life and how you worked beside that guy and here he is over here. And I can look over here. I remember the one young man that introduced me to his parents, and they came to church because he got saved and his life changed so much the parents said, "We got to go to this place." His parents are his crown, his award for serving Jesus. We don't have to strive for recognition or position or awards or plaques. People are our crown. And if you will get your joy off of recognition and onto, "I just want to help people," you'd be surprised how that warm smile at the Safeway checkout stand can change their life and open the door the next time you walk through to invite them out. You'd be surprised how just being kind and acts of kindness can change an entire person's life because you chose to represent Jesus well. Number five, the heart and soul of Springs Church. We want to show people how to really live. This really is our motto. That's why I put it down, although it's kind of redundant. But if I could put into one line the purpose, the mission, the goal, the vision, all those words, some people change them this way and that way. But you know what I find? People get confused. Just our purpose, our mission, our goal. I wrote it down this way. We want to show people how to really live through Jesus Christ. That's what we want to do. We want to show people how to really live through Jesus Christ. That's our motto. John 10:10, Jesus said it, "I'm come that you could get a life." Romans 2:4 says that it's the goodness of God that will lead a man to repentance. Now, I'm going to say a couple thoughts that are going to offend a couple people, but most will like it, so I'm going to say it. Did you know that your goal is to make the world jealous? That's your goal. You are to be so blessed with His presence, His peace, His joy, the blessing of God on your life, that the world looks at you and goes, "How come I can't get that?" They'll see your marriage. I guarantee you one of your neighbors is struggling with a marriage problem. And they'll see you and the way you treat your wife, the way you treat your husband. And at some point, the goodness of God in your marriage will make this marriage want what you've got. Say, "But Leon, that's not fair, because these people then, they just want the benefits without knowing Jesus." You know what? Jesus met people's felt needs before He met their real needs. If you're in business, did you know that God wants to prosper your business and bless you to such a degree that a man without Jesus or a woman without Jesus sees the peace you've got through storms, the blessing that is upon your finances and your stewardship of your finances and the people you attract to your company, and he looks over and goes, "How in the world?" And don't take credit, you're so smart. Tell him it's the blessing of God. The Bible says it very clearly in Romans 2:4. It is the blessing of the Lord that leads. It's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance or a woman. We want to show people how to really live through Jesus Christ. Your families, they should look at your children and see the joy. No one's got perfect kids. Don't even try to fake it. But we got real kids who love God, love their parents, and they're working at their home. And the world sees it. And they're struggling with kids that hate them. The Bible says a sign of the last days is kids will hate their parents. And they're going, "How do you get your kids to hug you? Mine's throwing things at me. Mine is on drugs." I talked to one woman, she'd been beaten by her own children. How do you do it? And it's the goodness of God in your family that will cause other families to say, "We want what you've got." But religion says, "Oh no, just stay poor and dumb till He comes." No, God wants you to live life to the fullest. He wants you to experience Jesus, to know God, to live a life that puts others first. And on this trip called life, people will watch you. They will. Sometimes it gets tiresome being watched. But you know what? Good luck. You're supposed to be watched. The world's going to watch you. If you fail, admit it. I'll never forget one time working in a hospital, had a bad day. Ever have a bad day? And I cussed. You know what? No one had responded to 2 years of sharing Jesus. But they heard this word slip out of my mouth, and it wasn't a swear word as far as taking the Lord's name in vain. It was just a culturally incorrect word. They never let me live it down. So you know what I did? I didn't try to lie. I just said, "Man, you're right. I'm sorry. Had a bad day. Got no excuse." Do you know what? They just kind of laughed and accepted the fact that I told them that you're right. I was wrong. They're not looking for perfect people, because then they couldn't join anyway. In fact, no one wants to join a perfect church, because they know already they won't make it there. They just want to join a church with real people, with real issues, real problems, who give each other a real chance to change. And number six, my last thought. Our heart and soul of Springs, we want to impact our city, our province, our country, and the world through winning people to Jesus and helping Him build great churches. Church is the key to changing our world. In my life, with the gifts that God's placed in my life, I've been tempted often to, instead of pursuing ministry, pursue business or pursue things that my gift would work for. And it doesn't matter how low a time you go through, I come back to this thought. There's nothing greater than the Church of Jesus Christ. He hasn't entrusted this glorious gospel to the politicians, thank God. Don't think they're going to change the world. They're secondary. Don't think that the universities or the business people are the most important thing that's going to change the world. Those are all important, but they're secondary. The only thing that gives Canada a hope is strong churches in every city, every town. Churches where people can be real and love Jesus and change day by day with His power. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. And whether today you are a politician, a business person, it doesn't matter what you do in this city or the surrounding areas. Everything that you do out there has got to have an impact for the Church of Jesus Christ. If you win someone in the boardroom, you need a place to bring them where they can be fed and pastored. If you win someone on the streets where you've maybe knocked on a door and a man just horribly addicted to drugs and glue and you prayed the prayer with them, but how are you going to nurture them along? You bring them to church where you can be loved and programs can help him to study and know who he is and counseling. Church, us coming together, this thing called church, it is the key. If you don't have a passion for church, no passion anywhere else will last. Did you know that love in marriage is not enough? Counseled marriages for 20 years, and you know what? Just loving one another is not enough. It's pretty quiet. You know why? God has a purpose for everything, and there is a purpose for your marriage. And until you determine what the purpose for your marriage is, it's got to be God and the purpose and your destiny of changing lives, whether it's in business, politics, you name it, wherever it is, make sure you recognize the purpose for marriage is not love and kids. Those are wonderful and they're great. And when your purpose is found, your love for your marriage and your kids is going to explode beyond all beliefs you think you've ever found. But when you've got a purpose together, and I'm telling you right now, all through the Word of God, I've studied it. I've looked. I didn't want to be a pastor. I'd chosen to be a doctor or a lawyer. I had my bags packed a couple times. This is before I became a pastor. But the more I studied the Word, the more I realized the greatest impact we can all ever have with our gifts is to do church together. It's to have a place where our kids can grow up and know other adults besides you that love Jesus. Praise Him passionately. Give generously. Live with excellence. And together, let's do life. Let's live life. Let's find out how much a team can do in its city, its province, around the world. If you're missing a passion in your life, stop blaming your wife. If you're missing a passion in your life, stop blaming your husband. No person has the ability to have you lose your passion. Passion is lost when vision leaks out and you don't get it back on the inside. Get back into God's Word. Get a passion for people and you'll laugh and bubble and perk again. As your pastor, I want to say this. We need you. We need your gifts. We need your prayer. We need your ability. There are some here that have attended. You're a part of the crowd. Jesus had crowds. But then he had the 70 and the inner circle. We need you to make a decision this year. Step one step closer into the core of this church. Roll up your sleeves and join us. We need you to make a decision this year that tithing is something that is a biblical mandate. It's God's. And you'll be blessed beyond all belief if you'll give God's what His. If you'll give generously. I discovered something. When I started giving generously, I lost my fear of finance and lack. Everywhere you go, generously give your time to others. Generously give your time to your marriage. Generously give your time. Generously give your marriage. Generously hand out compliments. Generously treat people with excellence. Let generosity flow out of you in all that you do. You'll live life with a passion. Get involved. See the vision here and live life with passion. Let's bow our head. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. Lord, I thank you for each person here. Every one of us at the beginning of this year is again thinking about our futures. Some don't ever want to repeat it. To some, it's been an awesome year. Either way, all of us today are standing at the brink of a whole new year, at the edge of something great and wonderful. Help us, Father, to get that vision back on the inside of us for the Church of Jesus Christ, then for our marriages and homes, then for our businesses, our destinies. Father, let vision just come alive. With every head bowed for just a moment, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're here and you're not sure that if you died today, heaven would be your eternal home, I want to lead you in a prayer so powerful that when you say it with your mouth and you mean it with your heart, God will honor your choice to such an extent He'll forgive you for everything you've done wrong, and He'll make you a brand new creation. He'll make your insides as pure as new snow. But before I lead everybody in this prayer, if you're here and you'd say to me, Pastor, today I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ, would you just look up and give me a wave with your hand, just saying, Pastor, remember me. I'm giving my life to Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Others, thank you. Others, just lift your hand up. Give me a wave. Thank you. Others, I don't want to miss you. Thank you. It's the most important time in your whole life. It's a decision that nobody can make for you. Thank you over here. Thank you over here. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Others, thank you over here, thank you. Don't miss this opportunity. Thank you back there, thank you. I'm not offering this opportunity, Jesus is. Thank you back there. He's in love with you. This church is not the building. The building is just kind of the barn that houses the harvest. This church is the people. That's what Jesus died for. Anyone else, I would say, Pastor, today I'm making a decision to give my life to Jesus. Thank you. I saw a hand back there. Thank you. Others, you feel it deep in your stomach. You know something's different in here today. Maybe it's your first time here. Maybe you've been coming for a while, but man, God's dealing with you deep in your stomach. You can feel it. That's God calling you, saying, come join my family. Be a part. Anyone else? I'm about to pray. I don't want to miss you. Could I have everybody pray this prayer out loud? It goes like this. Father, in Jesus' name, I give you my life. Forgive me for everything I've done wrong. All of it. From today and on. Help me to change through your power every day, every year. Help me to get a new vision for my life that will bring a passion. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.